Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Mraz. Today's show was fuller than me after an NFL Sunday. Enjoy the takes and laughs in the best of the DA Show.
We have our forecasts ready for Sunday's championship games in Kansas City. Temperatures will be in the 40s. It's the late games. It'll start in the 40s and drop into the 30s. The day is going to be cloudy, perhaps with some showers. So perhaps a sloppy turf at Arrowhead Stadium for Chiefs and Bills. In Green Bay, and I just love two outdoor games on grass. It always bums me out when we have domed games in the championship weekends. It's our last chance for bad weather situations. We got two classic NFL stadiums, outdoors on grass. I love it. Packers and Buccaneers, the early game at Lambeau. Also cloudy, but temperatures in the 20s. A high of 29, a low of 22. And precipitation, about 50%. Chance of snow is in the forecast. Snow showers. It will not be a snowstorm, but we could have snow showers throughout the day, throughout the afternoon, with an accumulation of maybe up to an inch. And so bad weather at Lambeau, temperatures in the 20s and some precipitation, even if it's only an inch. Who does that favor? Bucks? Packers? Tom Brady's played in many, many cold weather championship games before in Foxborough. One of the great cold weather quarterbacks ever. Aaron Rodgers, home field advantage. It is where we begin. Your cold open.
I think the week six game matters just about as much as when the Saints went to Tampa and beat them 38-3. Things change. People, teams change and evolve and either get better or get worse. Or there's not much staying the same. But there's an evolution throughout the season of plays, play calling, adjustments, guys playing good, guys maybe falling off, young guys stepping in. There's a lot of things that happen between then and now.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Aaron Rodgers on SiriusXM. I think advantage of the NFC Championship game goes to Green Bay. Now, again, Brady has played very well in cold weather games throughout his career, and so it's not as though somehow this is just a young quarterback that doesn't have experience or Drew Brees that's played so well in a dome for his entire career. But I do think that Tom Brady at this point in his career, at 43 years old, is a little less impervious to cold weather situations. I think as you get older, it's pretty obvious for you to succeed, everything needs to pretty much be comfortable and at times perfect to really hone in and do it. And it's just harder to get over some of those things. And for Brady, you know, the arm strength is maybe a little bit less. The accuracy might be a little bit less. But also, Tom Brady last week against the Saints didn't have a great day. He didn't have an amazing day against the Saints. And to out-duel Taylor Heineke in the wild card round isn't necessarily some great shakes either. And he wasn't an all-world player against Washington anyway for much of that game. I think what we see with Brady is his moxie, his guile, his experience is leading him to make some big throws but they're not looking to rely on him for a 300-yard effort. They want to run the football with Jones and Fournette as they did last week, and they want to complete drives in the red zone. I think what's interesting about how the Buccaneers won last week is so much of the Bucs' offensive success happened on short field because of those four turnovers. So if the Green Bay Packers avoid that and they're forcing the Bucs to go down the field, lengthy fields, on the road, in the grass, and with some weather conditions at play, I think it's going to make the Bucs' jobs really hard. I'm going to say advantage Green Bay Packers here because while nobody, no quarterback, including Aaron Rodgers, wants to throw into wind, loves to throw in 20-degree weather, loves to throw when there's snow showers, Rodgers is still in his prime and has dealt with Green Bay conditions for his entire career. And let's face it, Packer conditions can be a little bit different than many other places as well. I think for the Packers, their offense is more explosive than the Buccaneers. And I know that Bruce Arians has tried to design an attack that has big play capability, and certainly sometimes they do. But I just think that the Packers, with Davante Adams and the ground game and the number of weapons he has at his disposal in the pass game and being 6 years younger than Tom Brady and having the home field advantage and having played remarkably well in some really bad Lambeau conditions before, I would say this is advantage. If there is snow and muck, if there is tough conditions, I would say advantage Packers. Now, I don't think it's great for the Packers. I think if you just line these two teams up on a dry field, neutral field, sun is shining, nothing, no problem, I think it's advantage Packers as well. Because I think Green Bay is just a better football team. I think Green Bay has a better quarterback. Green Bay has just a better attack this year and are all around a deeper, better team. So you sometimes want neutral fields. And in this case, if it is sloppy, if it is wind, if it is snow, that could help even out the playing field. So it's not great for the Packers, okay? But if you're asking me if it ends up being a dark, windy, snowy, sloppy day, yeah, I'm going to say I trust Aaron Rodgers to navigate that a little bit more than I trust Tom Brady at 43 years old in this Bucs offense, which has been a little feast or famine, including in the playoffs as well. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Mraz, what do you think? Advantage Bucs or Packers if there's snow on Sunday?
I think it's still advantage Packers, though it's hard not to think that it gets neutralized a little bit if the forecast continues to get worse than what they're saying. Look, half an inch of snow, I think that's one thing. Heavy winds and getting that up to 3, 4, 5 inches of snow, which doesn't look like it's going to be the case, I do think would neutralize things. Because, look, as I brought up last week and up the gut, there were 2 weeks this year where at Lambeau the winds were howling and very heavy, and the Packers were absolutely gashed on the ground and had no answer to stop the run game for both Dalvin Cook and John Robinson. And what you see in bad weather on top of maybe having trouble stopping the run is a little bit of slippage from D-backs and big playability, and Tom Brady doesn't have the arm strength to get it down for big playability, but when you have Chris Godwin, you have Antonio Brown, you have Mike Evans, those are the kind of players that can make D-backs slip, take a 10-yard slant, and take it to the house, where in this kind of game, one big play could change everything. So I still think as it stands now, that little bit of snow I think is perfect for a setting, and I still think the Packers should be heavily favored in this game, but if it gets worse and takes a tick worse, I do think that brings it back to the Pack and actually helps out the Bucs a bit.
You say they should be big favorites. They're like a 3-point favorite. I don't think they should be big favorites.
I think they're going to win this game by a touchdown to 10 points. I really do. I really, the way they're cooking right now, I just cannot see the Bucs being able to do enough to slow them down, unless, of course, the weather works in Tampa's favor.
I can't see the Packers winning by 10 points. That's a blowout.
Well, is Aaron Rodgers going to turn the ball over? Because unless the Bucs are getting turnovers like they did last week or in this first game versus the Packers, they're not exactly pushing everybody around. I mean, heck, they're in a spot where it's a one-possession game with Washington in the wild card round. Tom Brady threw for less than 200 yards a week ago. A lot of those passes were fluttering ducks. I think the Packers are head and shoulders a better team, and if all things are even on that playing field and we're not talking about heavy weather, I really think that Tampa's going to have a difficult time trying to slow down Aaron Rodgers.
They certainly are a better team, I agree. When was the last time, though, that Tom Brady was ever blown out in a playoff game? I'm trying to think. I mean, even last year, would we consider that against the Titans in the wild card round a blowout?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a one-possession game, wasn't it, until he threw the pick six?
Yeah, but okay, but that matters. Him turning the ball over because he's had enough at the end, yeah.
Yeah, but that was the final play of the game. That was the final play of the game.
Okay, but the Titans also are a sloppier team than Green Bay as far as the style they want to play offensively.
Well, wait a second. You can't say they blew him out and then say because it's style. Well, it's either a blowout or it's not a blowout. When was the last time that Tom Brady got blown out in a playoff game?
Okay, I'd have to look at that. When was the last time Tom Brady was 43 playing in a playoff game?
Okay. You can't say he's definitely going to get blown out because of his age if he's never been blown out before.
Okay, but winning a game by 10 points, in my mind, is a blowout. I consider the Titan game a blowout, but it's not going to look the same as this would because the Titans play a more tighter run-first style of play. And it's not about Tom Brady. I think their defense is going to have fits trying to slow down Aaron Rodgers, who looks like he could just flick a wrist right now and do this. And I just don't think Tom Brady, the way he's built, we saw the way he was throwing last week, can come from behind if there's a bit of a lead. The only reason they did that last week is because Drew Brees was turning the ball over left and right, and I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to do that.
Well, we always have, always, 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 one really close game in the championship round.
Uh-huh.
It's rare that we have two blowouts. So you believe it's the AFC game that's going to be close?
I do. I think the AFC game is going to be wild.
Wild.
I do. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think that we're going to leave that game win or lose thinking, oh my goodness, Josh Allen and the Bills are serious contenders entering next year, more so than we even think right now.
Is it
now,
true
take this...
that...
Okay, take this from somebody who was 0-3 last week and up the gut. I will acknowledge that.
The Titans beat the Patriots last year 20-13 in the playoffs. That's not a blowout.
That's all the score was? I should have looked at the score before that. It felt a lot worse, though. Didn't it feel like a real swan song? Where, and again, 13 points, DA? 13 points from Tom Brady last year? Come on.
Yeah, it was rough, definitely, but it wasn't a blowout. It
was
14-13. The Titans led until that pick six in the final play of the game. So it was 20-13, and then before that, the last loss of the playoffs was to the Eagles in the Super Bowl. That obviously is a super close game. Before that, they lost in Denver 20-18 to the AFC Championship game.
All right.
Before that, they lost to the Broncos 26-16 in the 2013 season. That's a 10-point loss. And before that, they lost to Flacco and the Ravens in the AFC Championship game 28-13. So those were the last two possession losses by Tom Brady in the playoffs was 2012 and 2013. So you got to go back a ways.
Yeah, so why couldn't we expect something similar where I think the opponent might be better in a matchup-wise compared to what Tom Brady has around him in the Bucs right now? I really do believe that.
No, that's fair. I'm just wondering, I mean, most people's definition of a blowout isn't an 8-point loss or something like that. Even a 10-point loss isn't necessarily a blowout.
So I'll pull back the word usage of blowout. I don't think the game will be 41-0, but I do think that this is a
comfortable win.
Comfortable win for the Green Bay Packers as it stands. If we go with comfortable over blowout, we could have a nice next 4 hours, Damon.
Yes. So comfortable win I can sit with. There's a part of me that just doesn't believe that this Tom Brady story ends in blowout fashion on Sunday. There's just a part of me that goes, there's too much Grim Reaper in there. There's too much Freddy Krueger in him that there's just no way I'm going to be watching Tom Brady fourth quarter, head in his helmet, down 21 points in this game.
But why not? We saw Aaron Rodgers last year in the NFC Championship lose like that. We saw Drew Brees last week lose like that. Tom Brady's can't lose like that because he's Tom Brady. He's not Superman.
Well, because he's never lost like that, because we've seen those other guys lose like that, and Tom Brady's never lost like that. That's why.
Well, again,
I mean, I can't envision it because it's never happened.
Oh, well, start visioning it, baby. We need to will this thing to happen because we can't sit through another Brady Super Bowl yet.
I think really the only time that Brady has been really thoroughly humiliated in the playoffs is that Ray Rice game. That was wild card weekend 2009. And the Ravens jumped out 14-0 and then cruised. I mean, it was probably 38-10 or something like that. That was in Foxborough. I think that's the only time that the Patriots were really humiliated in the playoffs.
And that's also has to do with the fact that Bill Belichick is still a better coach than Bruce Arians and probably wouldn't let the team be humiliated in big playoff games either.
Well, yeah, Bruce Arians doesn't have a great track record here. So you could definitely look at the coaching, and I would say advantage Matt LaFleur, even though LaFleur is young. I would say in this coaching matchup, and Bruce Arians has some pelts on the wall, I would say advantage Matt LaFleur, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would. Absolutely. The way he's cruised along here, and also Matt LaFleur just being in this NFC title game a year ago and getting embarrassed, if you will, through a comfortable win by the 49ers, has to lean on that a little bit and understand where things went wrong that week of preparation.
Yeah, I would say out of the coaches, advantage LaFleur, and then out of the coaches, advantage Andy Reid over Sean McDermott. McDermott's been great, but Andy Reid's been doing this for 20 years. So yeah. I'm going to go advantage the Walrus here.
I need to change your mindset the next couple days. We had a Patriot funeral last week. You're too lovey with Brady and the Bucks. I need you back on the we can't stand them bandwagon.
Well, I just don't want to go into Sunday and wish for some type of demoralizing destruction and then have it thrown back into my face, and that makes me demoralized. Like, believe me, I don't want to see Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, okay? I just don't want to have to talk about him for another 2 weeks after this. I don't want to have him going for a seventh championship. I'd much rather see Aaron Rodgers. I'd much rather see any of these three teams win than Tom Brady win. Now, this is nothing against Bucks fans. Bucks fans have never done anything wrong to me. I mean, they haven't won a championship since 2002. I'm just, the Brady thing is exhausting. So I'm with you there, but I'm just not ready to be like, oh yeah, don't worry, Brady loses by 2 touchdowns on Sunday, and then have Brady go down the field and exact some type of surgical revenge on Aaron Rodgers. And then I'm the one sitting there going, oh my God, now I feel awful about this.
Tom Brady's got 6 rings. He's got a supermodel wife. He's got everything handed to him. The last thing he needs is also being the only quarterback to lead his team to a home Super Bowl in Tampa. We can't have that either.
Oh, yeah, right. Let's add that to the list of accomplishments. Brady would go to 10 Super Bowls, be trying to go for 7 championships, 2 different teams over 21 years or 20 years, and be the first quarterback ever to lead his team to a home game in the Super Bowl.
No, thank you. Not for me.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Reminder that you can listen to the show in podcast form every single day, whenever you want, on demand. Full episodes are available. Full hours are available. Plus, the best of is available as well for you. 1 hour plus bite-sized chunks of the DA show. And the PGP, the permission granted podcast, all available if you simply search the DA show on your favorite podcast platform. Subscribe, rate, and review. We begin with former Brooklyn Net Caris LeVert, who was involved in the James Harden trade, ultimately swapped to Indiana to play for the Pacers. The Pacers had a physical after acquiring LeVert, and they found a mass on his kidney. And so Caris LeVert considers this trade perhaps something that saved his life. Here's LeVert.
In a way, this trade definitely, you know, showed and revealed, you know, what was going on in my body. So I'm definitely looking at it, you know, from that side, and definitely humbled to know that, you know, this trade could have possibly you know, save me in the long run.
I really like Caris LeVert. I like him as a player, and I think that the Pacers added a really good piece of the puzzle. Indiana suddenly becomes pretty interesting with their roster, especially adding LeVert. I love his age. I like his bounce. I like his game. I like his work ethic. I think that he's a really good player, and considering that Victor Oladipo had been limited because of the injury, swapping in LeVert for Oladipo and a guy that is only, I think, going to ascend in terms of talent is a really good move. So a savvy move for the Pacers, and for LeVert, what an amazing story that by being traded, it may have saved his life or some serious health repercussions, because he had no idea, nobody did, that he had a mass in his kidney that only showed up because the Pacers did a physical on him upon the trade. Crazy story. Here is former Tennessee Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith, who takes over in Atlanta, the new head coach of the Falcons, and looks at the futures of his quarterback and wide receiver.
It's more than that, Julio. I mean, there's a lot of talented players on this roster. And, you know, whether you're talking about Chris Lindstrom, Grady Jarrett, I mean, there's so many players that we're just still early in this process if we fill it out. I mean, the roster today is going to look different from to September. And then as you get to week 17, it's a constant evolution. There's a lot of talent here that we'll want to build off of. But I can't give you any snap judgments today because we're still early in this process.
So Arthur Smith had been with the Titans organization since 2012. He had coached just about every position: offensive quality control, offensive line, tight ends coach, offensive coordinator the last 2 years. In the last 2 years, Tennessee had an offense that could really be very nimble. You know, last year was primarily running the football, really pounding it, and then using the play action pass upon the acquisition of Ryan Tannehill to get to the AFC Championship game. This year, they won the division because Tennessee was also able to sledgehammer it with Derrick Henry, but also they did have a good passing game. They did have a deep passing game that kind of grew over the last year as Tannehill signed the extension, etc. So Smith has had some bona fides. I think that out of all of the coaches this offseason, Arthur Smith might be one of the most anonymous. So it's not like Falcons fans can get all that fired up unless they talk themselves into it. But when you're talking about what has worked recently, 30-somethings with offensive backgrounds stepping in and making a difference, that's been a pretty good recipe. Now, I'm always worried about owners just trying to do the who's the next fill in the blank. And it feels like owners have been doing who's the next Sean McVay. Okay, I want a guy with very little experience, offensive background, in his 30s, we want the young whiz-bang kid. And, you know, this is how Cliff Kingsbury got a job. This is how Zach Taylor got a job. This is how Matt LaFleur got a job. This is how Arthur Smith is getting a job, because they all kind of fit this kind of thumbprint. Now, some of it has worked. McVay and LaFleur are obviously very successful, very savvy, very good upgrades. And Kevin Stefanski, the same thing. He's an offensive-minded guy. He's a young guy, bright guy, and that's been working. The only thing is you can't just paint by number on this, because a Zach Taylor has proven no evidence that he's a great hire, and Cliff Kingsbury certainly has his fair share of flaws. And let's see about Arthur Smith. The one thing about Arthur Blank in Atlanta is that he has proven to be very patient with his coaches and likes to hire assistant coaches. He likes guys with their first head coaching gig to take over. And we'll see if that works. It may work, it may not. I mean, Arthur Blank has had some success with that. Dan Quinn goes to a Super Bowl, but also there's a risk there as well. But very obviously, Arthur Blank wants somebody that's going to be there for the long term, because he has not hired older veteran coaches with big names or reputations. He has kind of consistently gone with who's the next guy, and Arthur Smith is going to try to be that guy in Atlanta. And finally, Kyrie Irving finally returned to the Brooklyn Nets. Here is Kyrie on his absence.
There's a lot of family and personal stuff going on, so just want to leave it at that. I'm back. I'm happy to be back. And we got some great pieces, and we just move on. And I let my actions and my game speak for itself, like I planned on doing. You know, just needed a pause.
Says he just needed a pause. I am not going to sit here and judge Kyrie Irving, because I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And if he had something really dire with his family, or really pressure-packed or anxiety-ridden about his family or himself, I mean, we could all understand stepping away from your job for that. I think the problem is that Kyrie makes it very flippant. Like, oh, yeah, I just needed a pause. Yeah, you know, I'll just leave it at that. And it makes it sound like there wasn't something really significant behind it. And that's where it just gives you reason to wonder the severity of this. And that's just what Kyrie Irving does. He speaks, and he has this great weight behind much of his words, and yet his behavior feels very flippant and very kind of like off the cuff and not very considered. Although he's done some very thoughtful things as well in his career in terms of societal things and community things. So who knows where he comes from? It's so unpredictable with Kyrie. We'll do more on Kyrie Irving's return coming up here later on in the show, but that is your sound check.
Only one letter separates them, but they're galaxies apart. One is a true winner. One is a pathetic loser. This is DA's Champ or Chump.
And remember that the DA Show is available to watch every single day. Go to watchda.com. That's available on any device. That includes your laptop, your tablet, your home PC. Or you can watch us as well by simply going on Twitch, if you use Twitch, to the CBS Sports Radio channel. WatchDA.com is also available on your phone for free. No sign up. WatchDA.com for the simulcast. I did this story the other day, but I feel like it needs some repeating. They were my momentous Monday subjects. And your champs this morning, Bills fans, for what they've done for Lamar Jackson. Since beating Lamar Jackson over the weekend and Lamar Jackson leaving that game due to a concussion, Bills fans felt, you know what? Let's wish Lamar well. We're moving on. He's not. He's a great quarterback and a great competitor. What can we do? And it was a Bills fan on Reddit, one of the message board threads, who found that the charity most closely associated with Lamar Jackson is one that helps out kids in the Louisville area where Lamar Jackson played his college ball get fed. It's called Blessings in a Backpack, a nonprofit that provides food on weekends for elementary school children who might go hungry. And so it began with Bills Mafia just spreading the word. And they said, let's start with just $8 in honor of Lamar Jackson's jersey number. And then some of them said, you know what? Why don't we add Josh Allen's jersey number of 17 and make it $25? And so some gave $8, some gave $25. But since the Bills beat the Ravens, the majority of donations that have come into Blessings in a Backpack have come in from Bills Mafia. And they've raised nearly $500,000 for these kids in Louisville. And it's so cool why this is happening. Remember a couple of years ago, Bills fans reached out to Andy Dalton's charity to thank him because he threw the touchdown pass in Week 17 to allow the Bills to back their way into the playoffs. Well, they're doing this because they said one of the members of Bills Mafia who has tweeted a picture of an email that he got, who has donated, told CBS News yesterday, years of suffering, I think, has bred this kind of appreciation for us and generosity within the fan base. He's now also a reporter for a local newspaper. He said, because we really know what it's like to be on the other end of this. So it's just like not wanting to take anything for granted. We just wanted to show our appreciation and show people of Western New York what we're all about. Which to me is just, this is what it's supposed to be right here. This is what it's supposed to be about. And I oftentimes talk about, who do I root for? There's not specific teams I root for out of fandom. There's teams I root for because of the fan bases and because of the people involved finally feeling satisfaction over years of investment in your team. You know, it's why I am rooting for a guy like Aaron Rodgers, is because Brady has tasted this for so long, but Rodgers, it's been 10 years. Or a fan base like the Bills, which is just amazingly passionate, that has not tasted that success in so long. And the longer you go, the more appreciative you become. And so a Browns fan base, a Bills fan base, it's awesome to watch them finally get to feel these things. Quarterbacks that have never been there before. I rooted for Dan Marino for so many years just because I felt like, boy, this guy deserves to just feel that one time, that celebration, that victorious celebration, instead of, you know, the monopolization of a team like the Patriots and a fan base like Patriots fans that, let's face it, when you win that much, you become desensitized to it. It's just the next duck boat parade. It's just the next championship. And that to me sucks, because then you stop understanding how special it is. And Pats fans, I think, really did. I mean, you know, they just didn't know what it was like to be on the other side of life like all of us. That, you know what, nothing's guaranteed in your team. And there's no success that you automatically get grandfathered into. And now they realize that again. Oh, it's going to be like this for a while, Pats fans. And so Bills fans are the exact opposite. So much so that they're so gracious in winning that they're like, let's help out the guy that we just beat. Let's just show our appreciation for even being good. And that, to me, boy, that is the essence of why sports matters, because it changes you internally if you finally do have that success. It changes you because you just feel this unbelievable gratitude and joy and happiness. You hug strangers and you cry as an adult and you want to help other people out. And what could be better than that? And so Bills fans teach us all a lesson that in victory, you can be a good winner. It doesn't have to be you hate us because you ain't us. You know, Bills fans aren't like Patriots fans right now, shoving it in people's faces. Yeah, we're back. Yeah, we're winners. Screw you. If you don't like us, it's because you hate us. No, it's not that. It's we're so happy we're winning, we want to help. That's special right there. So Bills fans are the champs this week.
That's DA's champ.
Your chump is the Tennessee Volunteers coaching staff, and specifically Jeremy Pruitt. Dan Patrick had a report yesterday, and this is quite interesting. He said, I was told by a source there were a few things that went on in Knoxville. How did these assistant coaches get nailed on recruiting violations? He said, well, they put money into McDonald's bags and gave them to recruits when they came on campus. Some of the campus visits were not organized or were not above board, but they were handing out cash. You literally had bag men put cash in McDonald's bags and hand them to recruits. My source said they were so in your face about it, they weren't even trying to hide it. Tennessee got sloppy. I just can't believe in 2021 that you could be this sloppy from a head coaching standpoint. I just can't believe you have assistant coaches running around and on campus visits they're handing a Happy Meal to these guys with $10,000 in cash in the bag. I just can't believe you've got wads of cash next to sweet and sour sauce and McNuggets. And that's what's going on. Look, if that's what's happening at SMU in the 80s, okay. In 2021, how can you be that sloppy? How can you be that in your face? Of course you've got to be more sophisticated about it. Now, do I think that there are more teams than Tennessee that are paying recruits? Of course. In the SEC? Of course, of course. I don't think that they're rare for this, but that's really bad. If you are that brazen, if you are that sloppy, if you are that in your face, you deserve to get caught. And Jeremy Pruitt, man, you've been an assistant coach of the SEC under Nick Saban. I'm sure Alabama and Nick Saban don't hand wads of cash in Happy Meals. I'm positive. When they're cheating, they're doing it on a much more sophisticated level. Nick Saban would never allow his coaches. Nick Saban probably spends months at a time diagramming exactly how they're going to cheat, who they're going to pay, how they're going to pay, what the bank transfer number is going to have to be. There's no way Alabama's that sloppy. Pruitt, get your house in order. You deserve to go down if your coaches are doing it like that. They are the chumps.
That's DA's chump. Class is now dismissed.
Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. Mraz, your heart was in your throat because when I teased this story, you thought I was going to have some awful story about McDonald's.
Yeah, I didn't know where we were going, DA, if they were taking away McFlurries, if something bad had happened with a McRib. I really thought we were going down into Chipotle territory on the show where something's going to be shut down. Tennessee acting like idiots, putting cash in McDonald's bags, I think is a big win. I think we wake up tomorrow and understand that the barbecue sauce and 10-piece nugget will stay on the menu, and we will survive. So I am totally very happy with that show.
But there's going to be some earth-shattering news about McDonald's, then you are not going to get your happy.
had so much anxiety the last break, D.A. I'm so relieved that just Pruitt being an idiot.
Cat, the Wizard of Watch, D.A., enjoys playing Nomad Episodes, my travel series available on YouTube, and he just played the video of me and Mraz traveling to Boise. There's a two-episode Nomad about Boise. One is about the actual football game we went to, Boise State Broncos, meeting up with Chuck Pagano in the parking lot, getting to see that blue turf. One is the travel actually there. And it was an amazing experience that I'll never forget. I mean, we were in Boise, and the Boise City Council named the day that we were there Damon Amendolara Day, that I still have the paper, and it's framed, and I just will forever be incredibly indebted to them for that type of kindness. But the Nomad episode that Kat was just playing was the trip itself, at least the portion of Nomad for Mraz and I, and the video of us eating sushi at Newark Airport. And out of all of the unique and outside-the-box type of risks that I've taken from a culinary standpoint, and my wife, the Bourbon Belle, oftentimes goes, you're eating that. Now, I will eat things out of the fridge that probably have been there too long because I don't like to see things go to waste. And I will try things on a menu that many people probably would never try because I just feel like challenging my intestinal package. But that day, Mraz, we wondered, is eating sushi at Newark Airport the best idea? And lo and behold, it was very good. Now, we especially had a risk because we were in front of, boy, what, an eight-hour flight because we had to change so many different times. So we really took a risk there. But the sushi at Newark, as evidenced by that Nomad episode, very good.
So it wasn't bad, and I know traveling with you as much as I have, which, geez, after this past year, get me to another DA trip in a bad Airbnb in a hurry. I mean, I feel like I've been in the same spot forever. But you take a lot of gambles on food when organizing these trips, and what I remember specifically about the sushi in Newark, you were so enamored with some new app you got about telling you where all the food was in every airport, and that's all you talked about on the cab ride over to Newark Airport. It was like, you watch, I'm going to have all the best food on this trip. And we started off with sushi in Newark, and I was skeptical, and it worked. And then in the middle of basically a 35-minute layover in Minneapolis, D.A. is walking around this enormous airport looking for anything he can on this stupid app to feed us before our second leg to Boise, only to finish off with us eating a slice of pizza we could have gotten better in New York. Yeah. It was really, really, because the D.A. had to use his fancy schmancy app, we really took some gambles on that trip.
Yeah, I had met this company, a representative from a company, and I had told them what I did, and these Nomad episodes, they're like, oh, we've got the app for you. You'll love this app. If you're flying a lot, it tells you in every airport exactly where every food is, and it's kind of like a GPS Google map, if you will, for and with Yelp kind of combined into it with every airport. And that's sometimes very helpful because if you're in an airport, you're like, I just want McDonald's, or I just want Chipotle, or I just want whatever is here. It's hard. The GPS doesn't know where to go in the airport, how to get there. And this had like a map inlaid over every airport. So it was helpful. But in the Minneapolis airport, we ran into this terrible problem of everything was closed. And so I'm like, oh, we could eat here. Let's walk all the way over there. Closed. Well, we'll pass these two places on the way there. Closed, closed. And I'm like, oh, this app sucks when you actually land at a airport and it's midnight and none of the things that you want to eat is open because we flew out of Newark into Minneapolis. And then maybe it was 8 o'clock and everything was closed. We had
the
terrible
Colts Patriots was kicking off. Yes, it was terrible pizza. And I'm lugging my carry-on. I don't like walking to begin with. The A's flying a million miles an hour, no pun intended. And my fat ass is just lugging my suitcase. Just give me anything.
You were laboring.
Okay, let's get a slice here. Ooh.
You were like the offensive lineman running downfield after a 60-yard bomb.
I was out of gas.
Like, come on, we're huddling up. Come on.
And then it's amazing. Now this will come back to me. It was only prompted by us sitting down. All right, we got Colts Pats on. We're going to watch the second leg of this Thursday Night Football. It was a baseball playoff game. I had my laptop. I got all this going on in front of me. We got a big show the next morning from Boise. And there's DA. Let me pop on the 16th 1985 Bears documentary I've ever seen while I sit there and watch the Colts and Pats. I mean, are we kidding me?
That was during the flight that was part of the on-demand flight entertainment, yes. there was another 85 Bears documentary that I was like, well, I've seen the other four, so I need to see this one too. Let's grade this one out. So we ate Newark Airport sushi en route to Boise, and then we ate way better at Boise.
Oh.
Boy, we ate like champs there. They put
potato
us
land.
In a lot of places. Goldie's was amazing for breakfast, and steakhouse was amazing, and we just kind of everything was came back from that and said, yeah, I could eat in Idaho every single day for the rest of my life, be very happy.
And
how about that fry company we went to where they had like Boise 17 different flavors of potato, well, French fries.
And it wasn't just the French fries, D.A. They had the proper pairings of different sauces, an aioli here, a radish ketchup here. They knew what would match the different types of potatoes. And if you take the time to match dipping sauces with quality and style of cut and different things of potatoes, I mean, honestly, you're a scientific miracle. That was an unbelievable place.
Boise Fry Company, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm the owner was a big listener and said, hey, if you guys are in town and you have some time, you definitely got to stop by and we'll set you up. And so we were talking about the show with him. He was awesome. And it was like some people go to wine pairings and we go to French fry pairings.
Imagine owning a place that was French fries first, burger second, and going, if you have time to stop by, I think we'll make time.
Yeah, I think we'll make
time. I think we'll be there.
You got couples socialized. They're like, okay, well, this Gouda goes with this Cabernet. I think you'll feel the nose of it. And we're like, we'll take the ketchup aioli barbecue combo with the sweet potato fries, but make them curly. We want to see that pairing. That's the pairing we're looking for here.
I smashed my face in that.
Andrew Bogish has our headline this morning. Mr. Bogues, good morning.
Just remember, guys, if you go back there ever, to eat early, give yourself time to burn those calories off. Have your 6 pounds of fries and dips, but have it by 11 a.m. That's the way you get around those things.
True.
Yeah. Science. Breakfast French fries, you're fine.
Yeah. No, we can't do breakfast French fries at DA because he still doesn't know the difference between hash browns and home fries. And if we get back to the studio, you guarantee he'll ask me, what's
hang
the difference
on, hang
between
on. Hang on. I know this. Hash browns. Oof. No. Home fries are the shredded potatoes.
No, they're not. We've been over this how many years in a row? The shredded ones are the hash browns. The home fries are potato cuts. You never get it. You never understand.
No, I outthink myself. I'm like Mike Glennon under the rush.
Oh, it drives me nuts.
This is
it's
easy,
so
though.
Simple. Think of shredded potato chips.
What's the mnemonic device that you use, Bogues, to remember this? I'm not going to lean on Mraz because he just... Everything food is imprinted into his brain. That's the only thing that's imprinted. How do you remember this?
McDonald's sells hash browns, and they're delicious, and they're shredded potatoes into some, you know, oval patty, and then they fry them, and they're amazing. Home fries, everything else is just chopped up potatoes on, like, a flat top with onions and peppers.
Okay.
That's the difference to me.
This is why I'm getting this mixed up. Now it makes sense, because shredded sounds like fries. I'm thinking that home fries are like shredded potatoes, little strings of potatoes. Mm. But what Bogish is saying, and because those are their home fries are melded into a puck and then fried, that I should remember that hash browns.
Still getting it wrong.
Hash browns are the shredded ones. Okay, I can do that.
Yeah.
Hash browns are kind of like the tater tot of the breakfast world, if that makes sense. Same texture.
Did you ever have anything in your life where it doesn't matter how many times you're told and taught, it does not compute? Yeah. Like, there is something in my brain that's probably like it's remembering a 1989 Oilers drive, and it's just it's just over top of the hash browns thing. I can think about Lorenzo White catching a pass out of the backfield for Warren Moon. I cannot get the hash brown thing.
DA has drilled a million things in me to remember. You don't read enough books. You don't do this. But when it comes to remembering hash browns and home fries,
can't
he can order
it.
Breakfast 30 million times, and he will have the same question for me every single time. And honestly, the more I think about it over the last 10 months of pandemic, that's the thing I don't miss is DA asking me the difference when we go to order breakfast.
If anybody has a mnemonic device on this that can really help me, Bogish's is pretty good, but there might even be something easier. You know, it's like, how do we remember all the planets? Isn't there like a sentence about all the planets?
Onomatopoeia. Yeah, like Mavem Schnup. Onomatopoeia is not that.
No, not at all. Onomatopoeia is when a word is how it sounds, like plop or kaboom.
Yeah, boom.
That's onomatopoeia. What is it, Bogus? Remember the planets?
Like Mavemshnup, Mercury, Mars, Earth, Venus, Neptune, Uranus, Saturn, Pluto, something like
that's
that.
Easy to remember.
Okay. I'm thinking like Roy G. Biv. How do you remember the colors of the rainbow, Mraz, you know this?
Right.
Yeah, red, orange, yellow, green, Biv, blue, indigo, violet.
Very nice. Yeah.
Indigo. Exactly. You didn't see it. I got that one.
No, I thought you were going to get stumped on ice cream. Indigo.
What is it?
So I need a mnemonic device on hash browns versus home fries. Please help me out of this. Tweet at me, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS or on the phones. Pete will be happy to take your phone call on this. 855-212-4CBS.
Sure.
855-212-4227. By the way, Pete's getting a really bad reputation about not answering phones. Not that our bosses care or anything, but now he's getting called out on Instagram. Milwaukee Moose actually said yesterday in a happy birthday post, even though Pete can get angry sometimes and not answer the phones, happy birthday to Pete the Body Pilates. I'm like, wow, that's quite the reputation he's built up.
Totally ridiculous.
And I did see my dad yesterday, and he did tell me that DJ Tommy D keeps harassing him, saying Pete must have blocked him because he never answers the phone still.
He doesn't call, the moron.
I just want an alert to my bosses. If I ever hear my bosses complain that we don't take enough phone calls again, I just want to say, could you just talk to Pete? I'm not even going to hear this, okay? Talk to Milwaukee Moose or DJ Tommy D or something like that. I'm not even listening to this anymore, okay? Because it rolls down on me. Well, should you guys take more phone calls? I'm like, what do you want me to tell you? I don't know. They might be calling. They might not. Pete might pick up the phone. He might not. I'm not doing this again.
Yeah. No, and I think, honestly, what I figured out is Pete just doesn't see the phones ringing because it's pitch black in there. That's the difference.
But you have a call now if you want it.
Oh, we have a call?
Sure.
It's okay, who's on hold? This is like mystery package.
He wants to talk about Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, were you going to tell me this, or was I just going to have to go on a Pete doesn't answer the phone calls rant before I get one?
No, I'm going to tell you on the details.
Okay.
You got a full bank of calls. You can't know it, but we got a full bank of calls.
Well, DA, if you would have said something, I would have told you. Why didn't you say you wanted phone calls?
Are you going to take the call?
Yes.
Happy birthday, Pete, by the way.
Yeah, okay. Who is it? This is exciting.
This is Lance, New Mexico.
With Coach Bob Davey, and then Holly Holm, I'm the only one that predicted it in town, kicked Ronda Rousey's face in. And nobody else said, they're just so weak here. And I was the one that said, she's going to beat her. But every morning you make me laugh, and I thought I'd try to return the favor. God bless.
Okay, appreciate that, Lance. Thank you, sir.
Good job screening, Pete.
Okay. And we don't take the calls.
This is all types of perfect. This is exactly why Pete doesn't answer the phones. He's like, you see, DA, you want that? Is that what you want? He wants to talk about Patrick Mahomes. This dude just randomly yells about Ronda Rousey, then hangs up the phone. Great AFC championship game.
Let's get DJ Tommy Q on the phone. Hi, Tom here first.
Uh-oh. Oh, we're in the ring where Sean coughed something up. Stand by.
Just that Pete said you want it, you got it. The guy rambles about Ronda Rousey.
Have a good day.
What a good comeback by Pete.
Thanks for listening.
This is like when a wife throws the ring at her husband. Take the ring back. Here, DA, you want phone calls? Take all the phone calls you want. Here's Trey New Mexico, who wants to yell about Ronda Rousey.
That could have been more perfect.
What are the odds, by the way, of the segment where 100%. I'm like, yeah, maybe we got phone calls, maybe we don't. Pete's like, we got a phone call. We got somebody on hold. You want him?
And he introed him.
He's a disaster. You want the phone call? Yeah, he's a disaster. Yeah, you want to take Trey New Mexico? He's got nothing good to add. You want him? Okay, you got him.
I'll load up the disasters. Let's go.
Oh,
epic fails for a week.
Oh, another 12 DA candidate. Oh.
All right, Bogues does have our headlines here. Bogues, where do we begin?
We begin with free agent center fielder George Springer apparently choosing between the Blue Jays and the Mets. He chose Toronto last night. More specifically, he chose 6 years and $150 million.
Get him out.
The reported deal pending a physical for the 31-year-old. Toronto wanted to add Springer to its young core, which was third in the AL in runs without him last season. The Mets offer, by the way, reportedly for $20 to $25 million less.
Still
We've already heard
third.
What was that? Heard.
They'll still finish third. Same deal with the Blue Jays every year.
Salty.
It's been a bad 24 hours for Pete. The lazy ass comment. He's got to settle for Jackie Bradley Jr. And now the phone calls.
And then Trey in New Mexico just set him over the edge.
We have already heard new Falcons head coach Arthur Smith dodge a question about Matt Ryan and Julio Jones' futures in Atlanta. Now here's new Lions GM Brad Holmes saying he loves Matthew Stafford, but...
Great player. And what you really appreciate is, I think the talent level is easy to see, but you really appreciate how his intangibles show on film. Just how urgent he plays, how competitive he is, the toughness that he shows, but... It is my job to evaluate the entire
Stafford
roster.
Has 2 years left on his contract. We'll have a $33 million cap hit next season, but he is tradable. The Lions, by the way, have yet to formally hire Saints assistant Dan Campbell as their head coach, but Campbell has apparently picked his defensive coordinator already in his fellow former Saints coach, Aaron Glenn. The Rams expected to make Raheem Morris their DC, and Cowboys OC Kellen Moore interviewed for the Eagles head coaching job yesterday. As for the playoffs, the Chiefs are hopeful. Patrick Mahomes practices a bit today. Their QB said to be making progress, but remains in concussion protocol. A slow Tuesday in the NBA. The Nuggets down the Thunder 119-101, and Utah outscored New Orleans 118-102 for a six-game win streak. Blazers center Yusuf Nurkic had surgery yesterday for his broken right wrist. He'll be reevaluated in 6 weeks. That's on top of CJ McCollum missing at least a month with a broken foot. College hoops, Florida took on number 6 Tennessee without three top players and rolled.
Across the timeline into the half court. Locked to the top of the arc with the ball. Now drives the ball down the lane. Goes all the way in and scores a layup, and he got fouled. The Tennessee defense just falling asleep, allowing Noah Locke to drive for a layup and a foul called, and there's a timeout.
From Learfield IMG College, Noah Locke led the Gators with 14 in the 75-49 rout of the Vols. Third-ranked Villanova sidesteps Seton Hall 76-74, and number 7 Michigan bounced back from its first loss of the season, an 87-63 win over Maryland. Finally, some hockey. The Devils held off the Rangers 4-3, Detroit topped Columbus 3-2 in OT, and the Jets were 4-3 winners in overtime in Ottawa. And now, we're stunned.
Woo-hoo!
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
So, a little political stunner on Inauguration Day. If you don't like your local politician or the person in the White House, at least be happy that they're humans. The mayors of Fairhaven, Vermont... are a goat and a dog.
No, come on.
You should try it.
Lincoln the goat and Murphy the dog were elected as honorary mayors to raise money for projects around town and to get kids involved in politics. And it's apparently worked. They've raised about $30,000 to rehab a local playground. They also helped the town land a $50,000 grant from the Federal Land and Water Conservation Fund. But here's the kicker. After raising money to fix the playground, Sweet Murphy can't enjoy it because dogs are not.
Aww. What does an honorary mayor do?
pose for pictures, raise money for playgrounds. It seems like a short list of things like, on their resume.
What does this goat do as honorary mayor? Does the goat answer any phone calls? Does the goat send any letters? Does the goat show up at city council meetings?
Field surveys?
Yeah, what exactly is the honorary mayor doing besides eating hay? And I guess, yeah, going to a petting zoo or being at a petting zoo and taking a few pictures.
Taking a few ribbon-cutting ceremonies, very big on that. Bite
ribbon shoeing.
Yeah, does it bite through the ribbon when they open up a new car dealership?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not. It should.
That's great. I mean, Vermont's the best. They legalized weed a long time ago, right? So they're just clearly loving life. Yeah. You know, it'd be awesome,
what we
man.
Should do, man. Let's get a goat in charge.
Yeah, dude. You know who can do a better job running this town, man? My goat. Dude, that's such a good idea. Why don't we put the goat up in the mayor's race? Dude.
I'd vote for him.
Amazing idea. I would totally vote for him. Dude, absolutely, bro. I know Taylor would vote for him too, dude. Yeah, absolutely. Let's do this.
He's a super smart goat. You've seen it.
Let's take some cash.
Sounds like the most
budget.
Well-run town in America, so they might have got some, right?
Yeah. There will be no violence today at that petting zoo. That goat's got things under control. What town is this? Fairhaven, Vermont?
Fairhaven, Vermont.
I'm in. How did the current mayor, by the way, feel about having a goat step
in? It appears they don't have an actual human mayor. There's a town manager who I think is like the most in charge human being. So nice. then there's the honorary mayors.
So it's like Aaron Boone manages the Yankees, but we all know Cashman pulls the strings.
Yes, I consider myself the Aaron Boone of mayors. I don't do much. I'm just mainly a figurehead only. It's the goat that
does
everything.
Do what Lincoln tells me.
Okay, excellent. Now, the best part about this show is also that Pete is now shoving phone calls in my face. Okay, yeah, you want them? All right, well, Brandon in Denver wants to talk about COVID, so you want to talk about that? We don't want to talk about that right now because I got to get to break because I'm going to stay on topic here and stay on schedule. But I am very appreciative that now the floodlights or the floodgates are open on the phone. So if you want to make Pete's day, 855-212-4CBS.
Call and wish him a happy birthday.
Give us recipes, anything.
Give us recipes.
Load it up.
855-212-4227. Amos tweets me a GIF of an orangutan holding a cell phone. It says, "This is me calling every morning just to hear Pete say, 'DA show, hang on.'"
I get to Amos all the time.
Amos was my only caller on New Year's Day, as a matter of fact.
It's a spread. It's a line. It's Super Dave.
Well, I'm just never going to pass up an opportunity to chant, "Let's go, Pete." Mississippi is just the pinnacle of college football right now with Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach and Deion Sanders.
With your weekly college football picks.
I think about it because obviously on sale means you're getting a bargain, but I think I'd buy a racehorse first.
Thank you, Super Dave.
Super Dave Friedman has engaged in a season-long bet 2 years in a row against Mraz. He picked college football games against Mraz's NFL. Last year, Super Dave beat Mraz, meaning Mraz had to take the SAT for the first time in his life. That led to major scandal and controversy. This year, Mraz beat Super Dave, meaning that Super Dave has to take our drops on the show and use them in his play-by-play calls because by morning, he is a college football prognosticator here on the DA show. By evening, he is the voice of the first of the top team in the Big South in first place, the Winthrop Eagles, who are 14-0. Super Dave, good morning.
Good morning, DA.
Last year, Winthrop was poised to have a NCAA tournament bid as well, having won the Big South. Is this version better than last year's?
Yeah, probably. They're deeper
and the way they kind of operate as a team with basically two stars and nine interchangeable players is just kind of incredibly difficult to game plan for.
So after losing this bet, would it have been better if they had a bad season so that you could bury these embarrassing drops in the middle of play-by-play calls that maybe not so many people are paying attention to?
Maybe, but, you know, you like being around the winner, and maybe the audience is larger, and maybe there's some cross-section people that will be interested in the basketball who will tune into the show, or people who will tune in the show will check out the basketball. So I don't think it's much of a problem. I'm kind of excited about it.
How many seasons have you now been the voice at Winthrop?
A long time, 14 or 15.
14 or 15 years. So you've built up quite a caseload of credibility here, and people know you and they respect you, and you're a great broadcaster. Is this going to challenge the credibility from your longtime listeners when you drop in some ridiculousness?
Well, I think people know me. Whether they respect me is a whole nother story. You know, I think we're not afraid to stray a little bit, and people will probably get in on the joke and have a good time with it. But there'll be a couple people. We're on our full network today when Winthrop plays.
I think we lost Super Dave. The phone line has gone dead. This is Pete's worst nightmare here. So we'll try to put Super Dave back up on the phones because I want to play for him some of the drops for him to potentially use. Mraz, we have breaking news as well that has just come down, huh?
Yeah, Adam Schefter is tweeting, and I've made sure I'm not making a Jody Mack here. Philip Rivers is retiring from football.
Not shockingly surprising, right? I mean, we kind of felt like he would lean to that direction. He wasn't great this year.
He wasn't, but there was a playoff team. He still hasn't won a ring, and I kind of got the impression it would be on the Colts' terms whether they wanted him back or not, and it seems like he's getting ahead of this and retiring, so the Colts and Frank Reich are going to be looking for a new quarterback.
Okay, so more on the Philip Rivers retirement as we make our way into hour number four of the DA show, but Super Dave is back with us. So, Super Dave, you were saying that people know you. You like to stray a little bit and have some fun, so this is good for our bit here. We were thinking that maybe we would give you kind of a bingo card or a score sheet, and we would assign point totals to the most difficult ones to insert in the middle of a basketball broadcast, and you'd have to hit a certain floor, kind of like a daily fantasy game. Would that make sense for you?
Yeah, a game within a game. We can try it. I can't guarantee I'm going to win, but I can't guarantee that Winthrop's going to beat an entire religion when they play Presbyterian today either.
So let's play some drops for you and see how you feel about this. Let's start with good burgers, okay? This was from our caller, Hurricane Jen. Let's play this for Super Dave and see what he thinks about using this in a play-by-play call.
Good burgers?
Now, do you think that that could work somewhere in a play-by-play?
I don't see why not.
Okay, all right. Now, one that we have that we think that could be perfect is little wet, little drippy, because oftentimes jumpers are considered wet or a good bucket is a splash. Let's play that.
I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
That feels like it's a natural, right?
Yeah, I think we can mix that in.
Now, we have a quote from one of our honchos in finance at CBS Sports Radio. We've nicknamed her Chicken Pesto Lady. She once spied Mraz ogling her because she had ordered a chicken pesto sandwich, and she said to him,
"You like that big boy."
Do you think you could say you like that big boy after a big three-pointer or a windmill jam?
Well, I think that one's a little more tough, but possibly. Gonna have to make sure we have the right context.
Mraz once gave his football food of the week as French onion dip, but added with bacon. Here it is.
With bacon.
Do you think that with bacon can work in the middle of a play-by-play?
Absolutely. That's an easy one. Everyone loves bacon.
This one's a little tougher. Mraz was talking about how many pants don't fit and how his physique is a little awkward, and he says, "I have a weird waist."
I have a weird waist.
That would be tough, I would think, to work into a play-by-play call, but is it possible?
We're going to have to get creative on that, but maybe.
And finally, Mraz didn't know why freshwater rivers and streams and creeks didn't have salt and they were freshwater. And he said,
where does the salt go?
Is there a way to say, where does the salt go, as Winthrop goes on a 7-0 run?
I'm not sure, but we can experiment with it. Not totally impossible.
Okay, so can you just maybe recreate one of these for us right now? Maybe it's a with bacon or something like that, so we can kind of get into the idea of how it would work, or any of these that you want to use.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can do a lot of them. I mean, I can imagine, you know, a tight game and the teams going back and forth and somebody making a big play and kind of jawing at the other guy and saying, you like that, big boy?
And what about if, I don't know who the best shooter on Winthrop is, but if he took a 3-point shot to take a lead late and you said, good burgers, could you recreate that for us right now?
Yeah, I think we could probably work that in. You know, something like Eagles trail by 1, minute 22 remaining, Anumba head of the key, left side Corbin, releases a 3, good burgers.
Actually, good burgers works because it has good in it if the shot goes in.
Exactly.
What's the next game up for you guys?
5 o'clock this afternoon, Winthrop and Presbyterian. Eagles looking to win a 20th straight game, which would be a school record.
Why is it a 5 o'clock start?
Why is anything happening the way it's happening during the pandemic? Winthrop has played games this year at noon, 1, 9:30. I mean, we play whenever they decide they want to roll the balls out.
Whenever the gym is open, right?
Exactly.
Whenever the gym is available. Yeah. Okay, so 5 o'clock this afternoon, Winthrop Presbyterian. Do you want to start this game tonight or today, or do you want to start this on the next game?
I mean, there's no time like the present, DA. Let's get it going.
Okay, all right. Then we're going to send you our scorecard of these drops, and we will have the record playing, and we're going to record this broadcast and then play on the show tomorrow when you drop our drops, okay?
Sounds like a plan.
Super Dave, paying off his bet. He's a man of his word. He's a great broadcaster, voice of the Winthrop Eagles, so...
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know, maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
We began the show talking about the weather situation at Lambeau Field, and there could be snow showers, the forecast temperatures in the 20s on Sunday. We were talking about, can you even imagine Tom Brady getting blown out in a playoff game? I can't. We asked you guys that same question. 56% of you agreed with me. 56% said, no, I can't envision Tom Brady being blown out on a playoff Sunday. Rodgers, 12 career postseason starts, is one of only 4 players in NFL history with at least 10 postseason games of 250 yards passing or more and 2 touchdown passes. So 250 yards, 2 touchdowns. Only 4 guys have ever done it. The others are Tom Brady, Joe Montana, Drew Brees. Pretty good company to be in, having 10 games or more of 250 yards and 2 or more touchdown passes, which he did last week to continue an amazing MVP season for Aaron Rodgers and the Pack. Let's get your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. And earlier in the morning, we were poking fun at Pete the Body about answering the phones and phone callers and guys that he doesn't want to put up on the air, or they might drop before he can tell me that they're waiting on hold. And the whole thing came to a perfect crescendo. Here it is, your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Okay.
We got a full bank of calls. You can't know it, but we got a full bank of calls.
Well, DA, if you would have said something, I would have told you. Why didn't you say you wanted phone calls?
Nope, that did not happen. So let's go back. Go back and take a look at that.
Are you going to take the call?
Yes.
Happy birthday, Pete, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Who is it? This is exciting.
This is Lance, New Mexico.
With Coach Bob Davey and then Holly Holm, I'm the only one that predicted it in town. Kicked Ronda Rousey's face in.
What?
And nobody else said they're just so weak here. And I was the one that said she's going to beat her. But every morning you make me laugh, and I thought I'd try to return the favor. God bless.
Okay, appreciate that, Lance. Thank you, sir.
Good job screening, Pete.
Okay. This dude just randomly yells about Ronda Rousey, then hangs up the phone. Great AFC championship game.
Let's get DJ Tommy Q on the phone. Hi, Tom.
Uh-oh. Oh, we're in the ring where Sean coughed something up. Stand by.
He said, you want it, you got it. The guy rambles about Ronda Rousey.
Have a good day.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
It could not have been more perfect because we were teasing Pete about not putting calls up, and then in the middle of the segment, he's like, well, we do have a phone call on hold. And I'm like, well, you're going to tell me this? So we go to this guy. Yeah, why don't we go to this guy? Basically, he's the worst call ever. And Pete gets to walk off the set and be like, you see, you really want phone calls, do you, DA? You really want phone calls? An automatic 12 DA of Christmas candidate. By the way, a couple of you guys have reminded us that Mike Lang, voice of the Penguins, taking off the early part of this season due to COVID concerns. So Mike Lang is still the voice of the Penguins on radio, but he's not calling the early part of the season. So it sounds like a lot of you guys want to weigh in on the Philip Rivers Hall of Fame discussion, considering Philip Rivers announced this morning that he is going to retire. Let's do that tomorrow morning, okay? Let's do that tomorrow morning. I'm interested in this because I want to see what you guys think. Lonnie tweets, DA, if Philip Rivers doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame, then Charles Barkley doesn't either because he didn't get the chip. What do you guys think? Well, totally different. Okay, I'm not saying that Philip Rivers doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame because he didn't win a Super Bowl. Like Dan Marino didn't either, but is one of the greatest of all time. Charles Barkley is widely considered a top 20 player ever. That part doesn't matter that he didn't win a championship. Philip Rivers isn't a top 20 quarterback ever, let alone a top 20 football player ever. They're totally different levels of greatness. That'll do it for us this morning here on the show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti, the Wheels of Steel, the audio director. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, and Andrew Bogish on your headlines. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. I'm DA, and the Mothership disconnects. He's going to do that today, and we'll play that on the show tomorrow.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.